This is The Guardian.
Just a warning before we start. This episode contains references to murder and violence. Please listen with care. I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story. On Saturday, Bondi Junction shopping centre in Sydney's eastern suburbs went into lockdown after a man with a knife entered the popular mall and started stabbing people. Some of the victims have been identified, while the families of others are still being contacted. Police are now investigating the background of the attacker, 40-year-old Queensland man Joel Couchy, who was shot and killed by a police officer on the scene.
This is not only a mass murder, it's also a critical incident investigation where an officer has discharged their firearm. So it's very, very complex.
It was a traumatic experience for so many, including for Guardian Australia's production editor, Nikki Marshall.
Near the lingerie section, I found a fire extinguisher cupboard. I went inside it and it was really dark and tiny, and I just didn't know who was behind me, whether they, you know, how many people, how many attackers there were, whether they had guns, what have you. So I thought, I can't shut this door, it's too scary, I don't know if I can reopen it, I'm going to push on. So I came around the corner, found the fire escape.
Today, police investigate a mass murder at Bondi Junction. It's Sunday, the 14th of April.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So Tamsin, you were at Bondi Junction Shopping Centre shortly after news of this attack started to filter through. What was it like?
Yeah, so I got to the scene shortly before 5 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Tamsin Rose is Guardian Australia's New South Wales correspondent.
When I got there, there were dozens of police cars. Now, I've covered a lot of serious police events. I've never seen something like this. There were so many people. People were filtering out from the building still when I was arriving. People were incredibly distressed. There were dozens of ambulances. There were many heavily armed police officers. People were standing on street corners on the phone, clearly trying to tell their family and their loved ones that they were safe, but also expressing complete disbelief at what had happened.
And so what do we know about what happened?
So at about 3:10 on Saturday afternoon, police have said that a man has walked into the Westfield Bondi Junction shopping centre. He's then left and then returned around 10 minutes later at about 3:20. At that point, he's begun stabbing people. By 3:30, police had received multiple calls following reports that multiple people had been stabbed. At this point, hundreds of people were hiding inside shops and in storerooms. Witnesses had described a man wielding a big blade attacking shoppers. New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner Tony Cook described this on Saturday night.
It is clear that during that engagement, he caused harm to those people we believe by stabbing them with a weapon he was carrying. You would understand this is quite raw.
And Tamsin, how many people were killed and injured?
At the time of recording on Sunday, we've had 6 people die. We understand that to be 5 people who died while in the shopping centre and another woman who was taken to hospital, but she died there. We also understand that a further around 12 people are in hospital. Among those is a 9-month-old baby. Now, that baby's mother was the woman who was taken to hospital and tragically died there.
And what do we know about the victims?
A vast majority of the victims are women. We understand that of the 6 people who've died already, 5 of them are women. The 6th, a man, was a security guard at the shopping centre. So we're starting to learn who some of these victims are as the families are releasing statements as they learn of the news. One of them was Ashley Good. She was a 38-year-old mother. She lived locally and she was at the shopping centre, we understand, with a friend and her 9-month-old baby. We understand her baby was stabbed and then she was also stabbed. What we're hearing from eyewitnesses and people who interacted with her at the time is that she desperately tried to get someone to help her baby and she gave her baby over to strangers in an attempt for that baby to be saved. Ashley Good's family released a statement on Sunday morning. They said they were reeling from the terrible loss and they confirmed that her baby was doing well. In the statement, they said the girl's condition had improved after undergoing hours of surgery. The family have described Ashley as a beautiful mother, daughter, sister, partner, friend. They said she was an all-round outstanding human and so much more. They've asked the media to respect their privacy and said they're struggling to come to terms with what's occurred. Police Commissioner Karen Webb has said it may take some time to formally identify a number of the victims as their families are overseas.
And Tamsin, police have named the attacker. What do we know about him?
Police have identified the attacker as a 40-year-old Queensland man called Joel Couchy. Now, they've said the attack was not terror-related and he has known mental health issues.
We are continuing investigations in relation to him. He's a man, as I said, from Queensland. We believe he came to New South Wales last month.
Queensland Police Acting Assistant Commissioner Roger Lowe says the man is known to police, but he has not been arrested or criminally convicted over the last 4 to 5 years. Lowe says he has been diagnosed with a mental illness at the age of 17 and has undergone treatment over the years. He did not have a fixed address. We understand he may have been homeless. Police have told us that he had a small storage unit that they have now searched.
We know that shortly after coming to Sydney, he took possession of a storage facility that has been identified, and we have worked through that very small storage facility.
But we are talking a very small storage unit, potentially about 1 metre by 1 metre. So he didn't have a lot of possessions that police have been able to look at. We understand police have been in contact with his family and they've been discussing what's happened with them. They've been helpful in police's inquiries. Police have told us that this man was suffering severe mental health issues. Now, we don't know what they were and what was happening, why he was in Sydney, but those things are all being looked at by police at the moment.
And have police said anything about motive?
Yeah, motive is, of course, one of the things that everyone is looking to understand when something like this happens.
There is still, to this point, nothing that we have. No information we have received, no evidence we have recovered, no intelligence that we have gathered that would suggest that this was driven by any particular motivation, ideology or otherwise.
Police have told us that there's nothing to indicate that this man had a particular motive and they do not believe he was ideologically motivated, so they have all but ruled out terrorism in this incident. Now, investigations are still very much in their infancy, given the scale of what has happened here, but they have told us that there's nothing obvious. Now, something that a lot of people have asked is, was this man purposefully attacking women over men? Police have told us that that is an active line of inquiry.
It was a female police officer who first responded and shot the attacker. She has been praised for her actions. Tell us about her.
Yeah, so Inspector Amy Scott was nearby when this first happened. She's a senior police officer and she was based at the Waverley Police Station at the time. She'd been nearby doing some routine checks at venues when police were inundated with calls from Bondi Junction, and she ran to the centre. And we understand that from police sources and also sources within the shopping centre, she was directed to the offender. Tony Cook said that Scott tracked him through the centre.
She confronted the offender, who had moved by this stage to level 5. As she continued to walk quickly behind him to catch up with him, he turned, faced her, raised a knife. She discharged a firearm and that person is now deceased.
The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, praised Inspector Scott.
She is certainly a hero. There is no doubt that she saved lives through her action.
As did New South Wales Premier Chris Minns, who said the state owes her an enormous debt of gratitude.
She's with her family today, which is important, but this state owes her an enormous debt of gratitude. And I'm sure that there's many committees to run through before someone's actually given a hero award or a bravery award, but I think we can call it. This is outstanding courage and bravery under incredibly difficult circumstances. And her actions yesterday saved many, many lives.
And Tamsin, the Premier's also praised emergency workers and members of the public.
Yeah, as awful as this was, and I think Chris Minns put this quite well, you never want to find a silver lining in a situation like this, but if you were to look for one, it is the way that the community rallied around each other and helped each other through this experience.
I don't want to search for a silver lining, but it has been incredible to see complete strangers jump in, run towards the danger, put their own lives in harm's way to save someone that they've never met before.
Obviously, there were a lot of people at the shopping centre at the time of this. That was people who had never met each other, had nothing to do with each other other than the happenstance of being in the same shopping centre at the same time. Now, as soon as this started happening, people started running, screaming, warning each other. Shops closed their doors. I heard from people who were inside the Lululemon store. They were ushered into the back of the store, put in the changing rooms and kept safe from what was happening just outside. People may have also seen vision showing a man holding a bollard and attempting to block the attacker. People really helped each other. We've heard acts, including from Ash Good, the woman who's died. Absolute strangers took her baby and made sure that that baby was kept safe and taken to hospital, where we understand that baby now is. It's been a horrendous attack, but it has shown the best of this community. New South Wales Health Minister Ryan Park said mental health support would be coming to Bondi from Sunday afternoon. He also said there would be ongoing support made available.
And Tamsin, what have police said about what will happen now?
So at time of recording on Sunday, the shopping centre is still very much an active crime scene. This man has attacked people in multiple areas and there have been victims throughout the centre. So we don't expect it to open any time in the next day or so. Police will be working to try and understand why this has happened. They're going to be talking with their colleagues in Queensland. We understand this man had had some minor interactions with Queensland police and also potentially private mental health facilities in New South Wales. And so that will be a key part of this investigation. Obviously, we're going to be keeping a close eye on the recovery of the people who were injured in this attack. We've still got some 12 people in hospital and we're, of course, hoping they all make a full recovery.
Thanks for your time, Tamsin, and take care. It is a very distressing story to cover.
Thanks so much.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Thanks for joining us, Nikki.
Hi, you're welcome.
Like thousands of shoppers, you were at Bondi Junction Shopping Centre on Saturday. What was it like in the moments before the attack?
Very much a Saturday shopping as normal. Quite busy. I just parked at the David Jones car park and came up through the lifts. I was aiming to get some milk, but I usually park there to miss the supermarket crowds at the car park. It was perfectly normal, peaceful Saturday afternoon at that point.
Mm. And at what moment did you realise that something was wrong?
I got a funny feeling. I was coming up from the third floor to the fourth on the escalator, and a woman came past me with her young child, like about a four-year-old daughter, and she just looked really uncomfortable and apologised to me. I didn't know what had happened. I thought, had the child touched me or fallen on me or what had happened? And she just looked around at me with a strange smile, and I said, as long as you're all right, as long as you're all right. And I didn't know what had happened, but I just wanted to make sure she was okay. And then I was saying that was a strange thing to say. What? It was just a person on an escalator. And then I got to the top of the escalator and a woman came from just outside the main entrance from that direction. I was really quite close to that entrance. And she said, there's been a stabbing, a shooting, it's happening, we have to go, or something like that. There weren't that many people around, but I could see in her face that it was deadly serious and that she'd seen something and she knew that it wasn't just a rumour spreading, she'd seen something. So I just headed for the back of the shop looking for the fire escape. There weren't too many people in front of me. I think I was in the section by myself. Near the lingerie section, I found a fire extinguisher cupboard. I went inside it and it was really dark and tiny, and I just didn't know who was behind me, how many attackers there were, whether they had guns, what have you. And I had that active shooter drill going through my head from reading about horrible shootings. So I thought, I can't shut this door, it's too scary, I don't know if I can reopen it, I'm going to push on. So I came around the corner, found the fire escape, and just people, lots of women mostly, I think, and a few children were standing around not sure what to do. I think they'd heard commotion, but they weren't sure what was happening. And I said, we have to go, let's go. And then we opened the door and there were all these people standing in there, not moving. And I said, come on, we have to go.
Where did you go after that?
I came straight down the stairs and came down to the bottom of the fire escape. To emerge at the back of Westfield on the street outside David Jones. I instantly then got out my phone and started videoing once I felt I was safe, and then crossed the street and was with other groups of people who were all, shocked and dazed and wondering what to do, and started messaging the news desk for the Guardian to try and let people know what was going on. And it seemed to be a major incident, and that was when I first heard the first siren as I was crossing the street. And I lost count when it was about 30 or so.
It sounds like a terrifying but also a very confusing experience. How are you feeling now?
I'm okay, I'm fine. I've got lots of wonderful people checking on me, which is great, but I really am just mostly upset about the people who were the victims and what happened. And I just can't stop thinking about them. So I'm working today and I'm going to keep working and try not to think about it too much just yet. I just really want to say, though, that, I mean, I was just trying to talk and talk and talk to everyone I could find who'd seen what they'd seen, and was just hearing awful things, you know, from really traumatized people who'd seen stabbings. Then Tamsin Rose, New South Wales State reporter, came on the scene, and Tamsin greeted me outside where there was a big press pack at the main entrance quite late, and gave me a hug and checked on how I was okay. And then I pointed out some people that she should interview. And, you know, people were amazing. So, yeah.
Nikki, thank you for your time, and take care of yourself.
Thank you.
That was Nikki Marshall, Guardian Australia's production editor. And before that, you heard from Tamsin Rose, Guardian Australia's New South Wales state correspondent. You can find more of their work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to their latest pieces on the Full Story page. We've also linked to some support services. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, sound design and mixing by Camilla Hannan. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. You can subscribe to or follow Full Story wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also leave a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.